So there's plenty of work for us to be doing already in the local church on this front. It seems clear about that. But when you look at the situation, do you see this as an opportunity for the church in their own communities in terms of outreach and care beyond the four walls of the church building?
I think there is opportunity there. Now, typically, when you think about church growth, you don't typically think about the older folks as part of that group. You typically think about young couples who are getting married, bearing children, so forth. That's usually where growth comes in a church. But if a church becomes known as a church that's loving and caring, they create avenues for folks from the outside to become engaged with things that go on in the church, activities sponsored by the church, designed for people along those lines. I think there's great opportunity there because the widowers and the widows are very lonely people, and they're out there by themselves. There are a number of those folks who are not in church, and if we could get to those people with the gospel, they're searching just like everybody else, but maybe in a little bit different venue because they've had a terrible loss and they're going through a difficult situation. So I think the opportunity is there if we will move on it, move forward.
And of course, really the plight of those grieving and caregiving, that would even have application to younger generations as well, as, you know, obviously there's not as many
right.
people losing spouses at 25 and 30, but it is happening, and caring for a disabled child mm-hmm. and something like that. So yeah. it seems like we've got a big opportunity maybe.
Yeah, let me comment on that just a little bit, because even divorce care, people who go through divorce, they go through grief, a difficult time of grief. And so that, along with the caregiving aspect of a child who maybe has a disability of some kind or special needs child, that kind of thing, it does appeal, and there are opportunities. And so it isn't just limited to the older ones. I think that's a very good point.
Yeah. When I've looked at your experiences, your resume, you certainly have a sweeping, broad ministry resume in terms of pastoring churches, serving church-related institutions, and just being a widely traveled person. When you just take all that together, and I'm thinking now especially about our Free Will Baptist listeners and readers of the site, what do you think is really perhaps the greatest challenge that's facing our movement at this moment?
I think probably the greatest challenge is the lack of loyalty denominationally. I think denominations across the board seem to be declining as far as denomination-wide concept. Many times it's because there's not as much lack of loyalty even in the local church. People will change churches, you know, almost like they're shopping. And they look for other venues, other avenues. It's almost like the shopping mall. They're looking for someone who will give them what they need rather than the concept of what can I do to be involved and make a difference. My concern long term is, our congregations are aging. We have somehow must build into our congregations the young people and the loyalty, but also a second threat, which is close on the heels of that, is the financial threat. Young people find themselves in difficult financial straits. They get in debt head over heels. Credit cards are so easy. And that impacts the church. And when the older generation's gone, it's going to impact the church even more. And so that's something I'm seeing also, is the financial end. It's still the older people who are kind of paying the bills. And that could be a tremendous threat, you know, to our movement in long term with regard to the financial stability of it.
One of the questions I always enjoy asking people in these interviews and just in general conversation is, thinking about people and even key books perhaps that have influenced them. And so maybe as you think about your time as a leader in the church and Christian institutions, could you name maybe a couple of people in your life and maybe a few books even, if that applies, that have really been instrumental in your spiritual development?
Yeah, sure. I think probably if I go back to even my teenage years, of course my parents, you know, were a great influence on me. My dad has been a deacon for 50 years, and you know, and I remember when he became a deacon, you know, many years ago. So he's had a paramount influence on me. Another guy was my pastor when I was a senior in high school. His name was Ed Hargis. Ed was the one who introduced really our church to Welch College. And as a result of that, there were 14 of us who ended up going to Welch College from a man who could not get a college education because he had five kids and all of that. But he really challenged me. My plan was to go into the business world, but he challenged me. He said, one night in his office, he called me in and he said, Roy, he said, I believe God has something special for you, and it's more than making money. And I never got away from that. And because of him, I ended up going to Welch College, answered the call to preach, went into the ministry, and so on. I think another person is Dr. Charles Thigpen. Dr. Thigpen, I had the privilege of having him as a professor, but then later on, as dean of students, I had the privilege of working under him as president. And watching what he did and how he handled situations, I think, taught me a great deal about leadership. But I've been involved in leadership since I was 17, so there are a lot of people, but those two kind of stick out, because I remember one particular situation, Dr. Thigpen. It was a touchy situation, and it was going to create a problem, but it was a discipline issue we had to deal with. And he told me after it was over, he said, Roy, I may not have gone exactly in the same direction you did, but you're closer to it than I am, and I trust you. And I never forgot that, and I tried to convey that along the way to those who worked with me to let them know that I trusted them. As far as books, there's so many, specific ones. I would suggest, if you really would like to learn some things about the caregiving aspect and grieving, is just if you'll contact me at roy@royharris.info, I'll send you a copy of my dissertation. It has a list of all kinds of resources on caregiving and grief, and far too many to list, in this concept. But Adrian Rogers was, I love to read after him, a lot of his books. He's dead and gone now, but he was a tremendous pastor, tremendous preacher. W.A. Criswell's book on just basic pastoring, it impacted me back in my early 30s, and organizing and structuring my day. Those are two that kind of stick out, book-wise, of men that I like to read after.
Well, that's all the time we have for this particular interview, but we're very excited about the weekend we have ahead of us, and thank you for taking time to answer some questions.
Well, thank you for taking time to want to interview me. I hope maybe some things that I've said can make a difference and impact and help folks along the way.
Absolutely.